I'm going to read Genesis, just read a little bit. And we have several things going on today, and I'm excited. We have a Christmas play. We have a drama. We have the Word. And this is so good. We just could have kept singing, but I know God has so much that He wants to share with us today. And I, first of all, I just want to say I love you and thank you so much for being part of the ministry and
thank you
for everything that you give and for giving your time and your money and your support. And I just want you to know that it's working. We are not the same. Somebody say, I'm not the same. I am not the same. This ministry is not the same. God's raising up new teachers. You know, this is a school of ministry. Our church is a school of ministry, and I want to thank Him because He's raised some teachers up. Barbara, Lisa, Elder Robert, He's raised them up. And now He's raising up other teachers. And so if you have an opportunity on Sunday mornings to come, we usually have a teacher right before the service starts, and it introduces the service and how many been enjoying the teaching on Pharaoh. Amen. It's been good. Because if we can get Pharaoh out, which is control, then God comes. Amen. Let's look at Exodus 19. Verse 16. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's desire is to have a people that He can meet with them. And I was telling my husband last night, I said, can you tell that God meets with us every service? And he said, yes. He said, I can tell. I said, can you tell that it's increasing? Can you tell that He's coming with His gifts? That God's, you know, Christmas is, a lot of people say it's all about the giving and all these things, and now they're trying to take Christ out of Christmas in a lot of places. But it came to me last night, what are they celebrating then? I know what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'd hate to know that I had to go through all the rituals and routines of a holiday and not even really know what I was celebrating. So I'm thankful we have a reason for this season. Amen. So God wants to meet with the people. He's not this God that's out here and wants to be far from us. He wants to be close to us. And so he was telling Moses, he said, gather these people and bring them to a place to meet with me. And that's been our goal here since Pastor Pinson was here, to have a place where he says, my name's there. Where he says, this is where I dwell, and where he never leaves. Because if God's there, that means healing's there, restoration's there, ministry's there, provision's there. He said every gift, every perfect gift, and good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, where there's neither variableness, neither shadow nor turning. God never changes. So that means if He healed somebody back then, He heals them today. But so what has been the problem? Well, one part of the problem is the atmosphere. The atmosphere has to be a place where He can come and dwell to that degree because He's a holy God. He's a holy God. Let's read right here, Exodus 19. Verse 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings. Let me start a little more up. So let's start on 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto them, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So if you come in and it seems a little loud, that's what they were doing. And if you feel something trembling on the inside of you, it's normal. Hallelujah. It's normal. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Somebody say, Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The Lord descended on the mount. The Lord descended upon the mount in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So he says, I want you to bring these people to meet with me, and then God spoke to them. So I want you to have an open mind today that I came to meet with God. I didn't come for another religious show or another Christmas play. I came to meet with God. And I open my heart and I prepare my heart right now to make room for him, because there wasn't room in the inn for him in those days. But let's make room for him in our inn. Let's make room for him in our heart. And let's open our heart today for God to come and to speak to us about our situations, about our circumstances, about 2013, about our marriages, about our jobs, about the plans and the purposes that he has for our life. Because God wants to be right in the midst of you, in your situation, in everything that you're going through. In the name of Jesus, we welcome you here today, God, and we thank you for meeting your people. We thank you for getting everything else out of the way so we can hear your voice, so you can come upon us, and we'll be a changed land. We'll be a new nation. We'll be a treasure amongst the land, and the people can see that there's a living God, that Jehovah Jireh is still the provider. Jehovah Nissi is still my banner. Jehovah Rapha is still my healer. Jehovah God is here amongst his people, wanting to work among our midst and in our lives and bringing gifts to men. Hallelujah. Hey. Thank you, Jesus.
I was thinking yesterday, actually, Jesus lived in glory and in splendor and in majesty and in streets of gold, and I just imagine when the Father was laying out the plan of salvation, and he said, and you're going to go to the world, and Jesus said, yes, and you're going to leave majesty, and he said, yes, and he said, but the first thing that you're going to experience is a stable that's dirty and filled with hay, and you're going to get laid in a food trough as a little baby, and that's not sanitary. And I was just thinking how, like, I have this, we read all the little children's stories about the nativity scene, and I was just thinking about the reality of having, you know, just having a baby and having that in a stable somewhere, and had to not have anywhere to lay my baby but in a food trough, and trying to wrap him up and keep him away from all of the slobber that was left over by the animals there. And Jesus, it's just amazing how much he loves us. 2012, 13-ish years ago, an angel made a prophecy, and it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And he was talking about the sign of Jesus, and it said that there was suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And as I was reading that, I realized our Christian walk a lot of times doesn't reflect the promise of Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus coming that birthed Jesus into the world, and that is peace and goodwill from God towards men. Now, before this, God had brought judgment on sin all the time. And Jesus came to bring us at peace with God and to bring peace into our lives and not strife. And I thought, this is, you know, the Bible talks about the mysteries of faith and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And I thought, this is one of those mysteries, because Jesus was born in the turmoil. He was not born in, I don't think that we're, if we had our baby in a, manger and in a stable, that I would call that a peaceful birthing experience. Jesus was born into turmoil, and he immediately upon birth had someone trying to kill him. He had Herod who not just wanted to kill him, who decided to kill all the babies just to make sure that if he missed, got the wrong one, that maybe he would get Jesus eventually. He was born, and when we're born into the kingdom of God, we experience that same thing a lot of times. We begin to experience strife and war. But the promise of God is peace, and peace beyond all understanding. Jesus, through living in that war, paid the price for our peace. Through submission and unity with God, he paved the way for us to know the peace of unity with God as well. And I thought that really, salvation is really all about that submission. Jesus didn't decide on his own, these are the things that I want to do. He said that he submitted to his Father. He didn't do anything except what the Father told him, and that he submitted even unto death. And last Wednesday night, I was sitting here, and I looked up at this beautiful star, and it was sparkly, and I think that there was a light on it, and it was beautiful. And I said, God, that's beautiful. And I said, what does that star mean? And he said, it's about unity. And so I went and looked up what the Star of David meant. And it's about unity. It's about unity between God and man. So there's two triangles, two three-part beings, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there's our three-part being. We're a body, soul, and spirit. And it was funny. I was up here yesterday, and Sister Lisa said, you know that there's power in that unity if you can get our spirit's always lined up with God, but if you can get your soul and your flesh to line up with God, there is so much power in that unity. And I looked up at that, and I thought, you know, it's just one thing. There, you don't really look at two separate triangles mixed in with it. It's one thing, and that's the unity of God and man. And that's what the Star of David meant. It was the unity of Israel with God, and that they were one. And Jesus was our example of this. He was born of spirit. He was born in total unity with God. He produced power through 100% total submission to God. And John 6:38, he says, I am come only to do the will of my Father. He said, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 30. And this is a very short scripture, and it says, I and my Father are one, period. And a lot of times we think about Jesus as this, but in Romans 8:29, it says Jesus was actually just the firstborn among many brethren. And so this birth that he came to earth, in the process of coming to earth, his birth of spirit symbolizes the life that we have with God, the being born again. We're born of spirit when we're born again, and we become brothers with Jesus. We become children of God, Jesus being the firstborn among many brothers. And so that unity that he had with God because of his spiritual birth, that's the unity that we can have with God when we get lined up with him, that when we get connected, we know peace that way. And we don't strive with God that way. And then we can say, I and my Father in heaven are one. We are one, and we are in one mind. We're in one accord. We're in unity. I don't fight against him. When he asks me to do something, I don't even think, do I want to do it? I think sometimes we think about our rights a lot. We think, do I want to do this or not? I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. It should never cross my mind. Because I and my Father are one, because I've been born in spirit, and we are one together. So when God says to do something, it's I'm doing it because I'm one with God. His birth was a symbol of this. Luke 1:38, and we don't have to turn there, but Mary laid down her life to carry out the vision of God. She said, and there were all kinds of things going through her mind. I can't even imagine. the things going through her mind when the angel appeared to her and laid out what was going to happen. And she said, "So be it unto me, I'm your servant. Let it be unto me just as you have said." And I was thinking, you know, she was about to get married, and I was thinking about my own getting married and all the plans that you have. And I thought, you know, she and Joseph had lots of plans for a life. They were in love, and he was probably going to go be a carpenter, earn a good living. They were going to have a nice family, and here she was presented with God's plans, which was she was going to face persecution because she was an unwed mother, got pregnant before she was married, rejection, being labeled. Back then, they would have stoned you. If Joseph hadn't been in one accord as well with God and said, that was not me, they would have stoned her. She and Joseph had plans of how their life would be, and none of them involved the virgin birth of the Messiah of Israel. None of them involved fleeing to Egypt to escape a king who wanted to kill their baby. None of them involved watching their son being tortured to death to bring forgiveness to the people who put him on the cross to begin with. But seeing what they saw, and I don't know how much of the plan of Jesus' life was laid out to them, but seeing what they saw, they just said, "Yes. Yes, God, let it be that way unto me." And we are called to that same relationship with Jesus. We don't have a right to say no. We have the same calling on our life to become one and become unity with God. So I looked a little bit more at the Star of David. There's actually a really awesome story behind actually where it came from. David had was in battle, and he had a shield that had two triangles on it. No one knows why, not for any particular reason, I guess. And he was fighting for God, and the battle became so fierce, and God's hand of protection was on him so strong that as the enemy was just pounding on him, and there were a ton of them around him, the heat of the battle became so strong that God actually fused the two triangles together to form a greater protection for David against the enemy, and then he overcame the enemy. And to be perfectly clear, that story is not in the Bible. That's passed down from Jewish rabbinical teachings. So not the scripture, but the story was really interesting. And so I began to see that it's through that battle, because our real battle is getting to that point where God begins to bring unity and cohesion into the plan that he has for our life. And we begin to say, yes, I may die in this battle, but I'm going to fight for God. I may die in submission to God, or I may feel like I want to die because I don't, you know, whatever I'm doing, I don't want to do it. But when I submit to that, I become one with God. Jesus was... And around that scripture where he says that he was the firstborn among many brethren, it said he was the second Adam. So Adam came, messed up. We all know what Adam did. He sinned and rebelled against God. His sin was rebellion and saying that I want to... Eve was tricked, right? Eve got tricked. Adam saw what Eve had done, and I believe Adam had the opportunity... And I'm reading between the lines. I believe that Adam had the opportunity to cover Eve, and Adam because a lot of times people blame Eve, but Adam chose to usurp God's authority and say, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I do want to rule this world and have a mind like with God, and I'm going to blame my wife for it if it didn't turn out very well." And that's still the nature of sin today, if you ever notice. There, a lot of times men use women as an excuse to rebel against God. So the same unity that Jesus was born into, Philippians 2:8, he says how he was submitting even unto death, that same unity is what we're called to. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:3. It says, "For you are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? So if there's strife, if that battle is in us, there's a reason. And it's because we're still carnal. And we walk as men and not as one with God. So you can continue in strife even though you have been born again, but you're still walking in the flesh, because being born again is being born of spirit. And that's why in Romans chapter 8 it says that you can't be carnally minded and please God, but you have to be spiritually minded to please God, because when we're born again, we're born into that same birth of Jesus, which is a birth of spirit. It's a birth of perfection. We have the ability from the seed that's in us from Jesus to work perfection out. And to be sin-free. So we're born again. We're now a new creature. We don't have to live in strife anymore. The old is gone, and all things have become new. We no longer live under that law of sin. When we bring ourself, our emotions, that's a lot of where the battle is fought, because we feel strifeful, and so then we decide to act strifeful. And so if we bring our emotions, our soul and our flesh into line with God and God's will, then we can have the promise of that angel, because that was the prophecy of the birth of Jesus, of spiritual birth, and that is peace. Peace and goodwill toward men. If we can't have peace if we're not submitted to God, we can't have peace if we're rebelling, trying to do our own thing. We can't have peace. And I have one other thought. I didn't want to go too long because I know we have a bunch of other things going on. But I have one other thought, and that is the world tells us a lot of times to follow our passion and follow our heart. And I think the church has sort of adopted that and said, yes, you should follow your heart. But the Bible tells us it's a deception, because the Bible tells us that our heart is deceitfully wicked. It's deceitful, and it will trick you into following the wrong thing. And so if we follow our purpose and we follow our destiny and we submit to that, we lay our lives down, our personal desires, and follow that purpose and our destiny for being on earth, and that is to become one with God, to make our lives diminish to the point that we're fused together with God, like this, like God fused that Star of David together. And being born again, a spiritual being now, in total unity with God, then in finding our purpose, then we find our heart. And so you don't have to worry about, is this something I want to do? Is this my plans in life? Or is this something I'm passionate about? Do I care? Is this where my heart wants to go? Because none of that matters. What matters is we submit our lives to God and we find our heart in that. And I never wanted to live in Crossett, Arkansas. I moved away from Crossett, Arkansas. And God moved me back here, and I submitted to that purpose, and I found my heart here. And people ask me all the time, they try to get me to move all the time, and I say no, and they say why? And I say my heart is here in this church, and my heart is in Crossett, Arkansas. My heart used to try to take me all kinds of places, but my heart now is here because I found my purpose and my destiny here. And so more than just finding our heart, though, which is great, then we begin to find access to all of the promises of God, provision, healing. Do we need healing today? The birth of Jesus is the beginning of that miracle, that because it's unity with God, it's unity with, so it brings us access to everything. Jesus had access to everything, but Jesus wasn't special. He specifically was born the way he was born so that he wouldn't be special. He was just like us. And so he had access to everything that God had, being the firstborn among many brothers. And when we get saved, we're born into that same birth of spirit. We now have access. We can calm a storm and say, peace be still, if the storm's bothering us. You can say, be healed. You can stick someone's ear back on their head. You have access to everything that Jesus had access to. We can have healing, peace, our family saved. We can live in unity and in oneness and have our destiny, have everything that God has in store for us.
Am I in unity with God? Am I one with God? Does it matter what somebody's trying to get you to do, if it's your wife or if it's your husband or if it's your pastor, the bottom line is, are you one with God? Are you in unity with Him? Or are you striving? Because we know when we're striving. We know when we don't have peace. We know when we just get tired. You know, you ever done something so much that you just don't want to do it anymore? Just don't want to fight. Don't want to drink. Don't want to drug. Don't want to, tired of fornicating. The Bible says when we fornicate, we sin against our own body. So there are some sins that I'm sinning against myself. I'm sinning, I'm hurting myself. And so all disunity and rebellion and strife and all those things, all they cause is pain to me. If you look back, every time that you rebelled or every time that I rebelled, there was a consequence. There's consequences. If I stayed in that rebellion and didn't repent quickly, there was a consequence. So God, we just give you praise, and we just ask that you come upon the people's heart today, God, and that we would search our heart, just like these children sang and talked about, that we would search our heart and see, is there room for you in my life, or am I in total control of myself? Because we don't know what we need. We don't even know which way to go. But we know if we'll follow you, that you'll lead us into all truth. And you'll lead us into repentance. And you'll lead us into relationship. And it's not going to be something that we hate, God. You don't give us gifts that we're not going to want. We might not want it at first because we're not sure what it is. But I've never found anybody in their destiny and full-blown submission in it that didn't want to be there. I just find people that striving because they don't think they know if they want that. But when they surrender to it, those people are provided for, they're blessed, they're happy, their families are saved in unity and in peace because they are in submission to God, and He knows what we need. Amen. Somebody say, God knows what I need.
God knows what I need.
Now I'm just going to ask Casey to pray a sinner's prayer with us this morning, or a prayer that if there's any separation between you and God, and we'll let the drama come out, and they're going to sing, Oh, How He Loves Us, and minister to us in the drama. But let's just get our hearts right today. It's not about if I've been saved since I'm two. Have you talked to Him since you was two? What are you doing for Him today? Is he big in your life today? Is he the main thought? Like you think of your wife or your children, do you think of God? Or is He just something we do every now and then if we feel like it? He said, if you seek me first, then all these other things will come unto you. And then you'll have your family. Then you don't have to live in that hell, strife. Have you ever seen a peaceful home without God?
No.
I've never seen one. It may be for 6 months, but then self gets in the way, and Pharaoh and all these controlling spirits. And someone said the other day, when Michelle said, who's Pharaoh in that house? That person said it went in them that they realized that was the problem, that the one of the spouse was acting as a God in the home and like their God. And we're not created to serve man. I'm not like that. I'm not created to bow down and let you be my God. There's someone that we love dearly in this church, and when she got out, she said that she laid her head on this man's stomach, and he said, I want you to bow down and serve me. And she heard the Spirit say it, and she surrendered to it. I'd hate to know I gave up my life, my children, my eternal life for a human being.
Yes.
Because they wanted somebody to bow down to them and to serve them. They were asking in Sunday school about that, and that's the thing, is Pharaoh wants you. Someone said, what does it mean that it wants to be served? Well, it wants you to bow down to it.
Amen.
if you're with someone that won't ever bow, they won't ever apologize, they won't ever admit wrong, they won't ever say, honey, I was wrong, they won't take that part, like Adam, you know, he had to blame Eve. He couldn't just say, I was kind of scared of losing my wife, so I gave in, or I didn't really want God's way, I wanted my own way. He had to blame her. And how many of us today blame someone else because we don't want to bow down, because it's real humbling to repent. But I heard someone the other day say, we either repent or we get meaner, because if you know what to do and you don't do it, then you have unrest in your soul. So it's all about that. It's about, how is my relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him today? He wants to know you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring your family into oneness. He wants to bring you in unity. He wants to prosper you. He said he has gifts for men, riches and wealth in your house. That's his will. He said he daily loads us with his benefits. It's God's will to bless you and to give you provision and prosperity and healing and wholeness and security. Maybe you can't get it from a man. I'm sure Eve wished that Adam would have protected her and covered her. So I encourage the men to rise up and don't let that woman be Pharaoh in the home. Don't let her do it. Because when I talk to them, they say, I wish my husband would not let me be that way. We want you to rise up and be the man of the house, as Charlotte says. Be what you're called to be. And then it's up to us if we're going to surrender to God and we're going to submit to you as unto the Lord. Amen. Well, God, we give you praise today. We thank you for this word. We just ask that a spirit of repentance would come upon us this morning. Come upon us, the ones that's been striving against you, God, been wondering if we even really wanted our destiny, like I heard one say, and then others that just don't even know if they believe in you. Well, God, I know that you can make yourself real to that one that don't know. And I'm asking you to give them visions, give them dreams, give them supernatural manifestations. Let someone walk up to them and give them a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, that they can know that you are real, God. So your presence could come upon them like it did me in that car coming home from the boat gambling. And your presence came upon me, and I said, I don't want to be this way anymore. And within 3 months, I was serving you, and I was bowing down at an old-fashioned altar and giving my life to you. Because you came upon me, God, in my sin. And I'm asking you to come upon people today, yes, in the midst of their circumstance, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of their striving, God, and draw them to an old-fashioned altar, draw them to their knees so they can be one with you, God, because you created us for eternity to be with you forever, God. You married us so we could be together forever. You never want us divided from you, and the only thing that divides me from you is sin. And I'm asking you to take it out of my heart. Take rebellion out of me. Take harshness, hardness, take arrogance and pride out of me. And I just put it down at the altar right now. Make an altar where you're sitting. Make an altar anywhere you want to. And let Jesus Christ come upon you today. In the name of Jesus, we come against all strife and all rebellion and all hell fighting against you, trying to send your soul to eternity without God. I come against you today, and I command you to loose your hold and get off of these people that God's called to meet with him, these people that God's called to be one with him, these people that he's called to be his chosen, these people that he's calling out of the flames of fire to come forth and to be whole and to live with Jesus Christ and to be married to him and to be his gift and to be his bride today. We accept you in our heart. We call you upon us. If you can use me, God, if you can change me, if you can make me into something that's usable for somebody else, God, I'm asking you to come upon my life and take what's left of me, take what the world didn't take from me, and use me for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you for coming in and visiting us today, God. Thank you for drawing these souls close to you, Lord. Thank you for hugging and loving on them today, God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.